The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
So with that in mind, it's worth remembering that 100 years ago, Memphis was one of the richest, best organized cities in the country. It had a booming economy. It had beautiful municipal parks, a lot of them, more than 100. It had one of the most modern sanitation systems in the world, something we take for granted now. But when yellow fever was real, no one took it for granted. Memphis was such a big deal that it, in fact, was the informal capital of an entire American region, the Mississippi Delta. But not anymore. In fact, by last year, if you went to Memphis, it was hard to believe that any of that had ever been true at any point. Because by that point and now, Memphis had become a husk and a highly threatening one. In 2021, according to federal statistics, Memphis, Tennessee was the most dangerous city in the United States. Last year, it recorded a total of 342 murders. Now, how many is that? Well, by comparison, San Antonio, Texas, which has more than twice the population, recorded fewer than half as many murders. So by any measure at all, Memphis was absolutely falling apart.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, ladies and gentlemen. Last night on Fox News Channel, I was rather surprised to hear Tucker Carlson talking about my hometown. And right now, if you go on the Fox News website, which I don't encourage you to do, I want you to listen to us. But if you do, you would see that Memphis, Tennessee is the number one story right now at Fox News. And it's the number one story that people are talking about all over America. This horrible murder and kidnapping that occurred in my hometown, the place where we broadcast this radio program. And I wanted to start out. We talk about politics a lot on this program. We talk a lot about culture. But I want to use what's happening here in Memphis as a jumping off point for what could happen and what will happen in your town, in your city, in your community. And we have seen this play out in New York City, in San Francisco, in Chicago, in Philadelphia, Baltimore, Los Angeles, and it's hard for some of us to wrap our heads around what's going on, because it's easy to just dismiss what's happening in New York. Well, it's a big town. They got, 15 million people? It's New York City. They're always shooting people up there. But when it happens in a place like Memphis, population 1.3 million, it resonates with folks. There's something about that. Because Tucker is right. Memphis used to be a crown jewel of a city. And it's been decimated. And it's been decimated by Democrat policies. We have been under the control of the Democrats for decades. We have been under the control of progressives for at least the past decade. And it has nearly destroyed our city. Do you realize we have, one major shopping mall and it's nearly empty here? They call it the Galleria. People don't even want to go there. It's too dangerous. And that's in a good part of town. We live in constant fear. And if you walked out on the street and you asked somebody, they would not tell that to you. But subconsciously, we all do. It's where you get your gas. You know where not to go at night. You know that when you do get out of your car, you've got to immediately lock your car. You've got to look around. When you're waiting for the gas to fill up your tank, you're constantly looking around. Your head is on a swivel, praying you don't get carjacked. And by the way, God forbid that happens, what you do, ladies and gentlemen, is you take that nozzle out of your car and you hose down the bad guys with the gas. That's what you do. Just trying to be helpful here. Offer some pointers. But this is what happens when you allow Democrats complete control. And it was a horrible thing that happened in our town. Over the past year or so, as I've gotten acclimated and reacclimated to living back here in Memphis, I came to understand that the old money controlled the Republican Party, the country club Republicans. And they don't like Trump. They don't like MAGA. They don't like conservatives. They're just old school Rockefeller Republicans. They don't want to rock the boat because they want to be able to get contracts. They want to be able to get business deals with the Democrats who literally control everything in this town. And if it means that true conservatives don't get elected, they're okay with that. They're okay with that. We just came out of an election in August, and the district attorney was on the ballot, and she's a good and decent person. She was tough on crime. She was a Republican, and she was I think she was part of that old school network, that old Memphis network of Republicans. But she was very good at her job. And they went out, they campaigned. We had one of theirs. We had what do you call the kid? The poor kid running for mayor had never held a job, but he was from old Memphis money. And he got beat, but he was their guy. And they embraced all of that. But they really didn't push back. They didn't talk about how bad crime was here in this city. They didn't talk about how people live in fear. They didn't talk about the fact that we're one of the most deadliest cities. They didn't talk about any of that stuff because it would make the Democrats look bad, the people they do business with, the people they go to church with in their highfalutin, you know, upper crust churches. They didn't want to talk about any of that stuff. And then what happened on Friday? One of the members of Old Memphis, that community, was kidnapped and was killed. And guess what everybody's talking about now? Got to get tough on crime. Got to have the death penalty. Well, I'm glad they're talking about that, but why weren't they talking about that a couple of weeks ago when, you know, two black kids got shot in the face? Why weren't they talking about – you talk about crime in Memphis, Tennessee? It's true that most of the perpetrators of the crime are black men. But you know what else is also true? That most of the victims are black Americans here in this city. But nobody wants to have that conversation. But they're having it now because a 34-year-old white woman whose grandfather was the head of a billionaire company, billion-dollar company, was kidnapped and murdered. I don't know what that says about us as a country. I don't know. Maybe we can have that moral discussion. The same time this young lady was kidnapped, a black teenager went missing. That didn't make the news as much. We've had kidnappings, murders, every single day here. And now we have a district attorney who's a Democrat of the George Soros variety. And people are genuinely frightened because this guy is all about bail reform. This guy wants to raise the age of the juvenile crime to 25 years old. So if you're 25 years old, you go out and shoot somebody, you kidnap somebody, you murder somebody, you're going to be treated like a juvenile here in Memphis, Tennessee. It's dangerous. And this is the reality. This is our reality. Grace Baker, the person that you talk to when you call into this program, Grace, you live here. You have to experience this. You live this.
Oh, yeah. And went to school here, lived here my entire life. It's depressing, to say the least.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And Tucker asked a question. We've got some more audio. I want to play this. Cut number two, please.
So it seems a little weird to a lot of people when someone like Liza Fletcher, someone who could live anywhere, voluntarily moves back to a place like Memphis. Not to some suburb of Memphis, but to the city of Memphis. That seems weird to people. But it's not weird. It's not odd at all when you think about it. Liza Fletcher was from Memphis. She grew up there, and she had a right to come back. This was her country, too, just as it's your country, too. An American citizen should be able to live or walk anywhere in America without being raped or murdered for it. Period. That is the baseline requirement for civilization. It's called order. But increasingly, that is not what we have. What we have is a country where you just can't go some places. You're not wanted there, and it's too dangerous for you to go. Most people accept this by default, but we should never accept this under any circumstances. To accept something is to concede that it is more or less normal. Once we acknowledge something as normal, whether it's children being castrated in the name of trans rights or women being murdered by rapists who should have been in prison but weren't because equity, once we accept that as normal, we are stuck with it forever. It is the new status quo. It will never change except to get worse. The good people who lived in Memphis a century ago would never believe what has happened to the city they built. They would weep if they saw it. That will be the experience of every American before long. Our entire country will be Memphis if we don't put a stop to this insanity right now with as much force as is required.
I mean, Todd, there are literal streets. I just say, nope, don't live there. You know, I've been kind of looking for a house to live in because we live in an apartment, and there are literal just streets and zip codes that I see on my search that I'm like, nope, not safe. I know it's not safe. Not living there. Won't do it.
I mean, listening to Tucker, this is heartbreaking. I mean, he's talking about our town.
Yeah. And it feels like we never make headlines for a good reason. Whenever I see Memphis trending, I'm like, oh no, what happened now? Because it's always something, you know, depressing, it feels like. And there's a lot of good things about the city. I like a lot of things about here, but I have always dealt with, you know, don't go to this area after this time of night. Don't go to that street. Don't drive alone. Don't walk alone. Because something bad might happen.
And we've been ahead of the curve here. I mean, Tucker said our entire country will become Memphis if we don't stand up. How long have we been talking about that on
yeah.
this program? I mean, we
yeah.
really have. So our audience is sort of ahead of the curve here on this.
Yes.
And I'm glad that Fox and the others are jumping in here.
Light bulb.
But again, an overwhelming majority of the people getting slaughtered here are Black Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Where the hell has everybody been? Wait,
exactly.
we've got a white woman who was kidnapped and murdered, and all of a sudden it becomes an international crisis.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to do some soul searching there.
Agreed.
Because the violence we've been talking about for a very long time on this program has been black-on-black crime.
Yeah, it's all terrible.
And it's all horrible. It is all horrible. But it's shocking. Maybe it shouldn't be shocking. That it took this particular crime to wake people up. But I hope people are awake now, and I hope people are seeing what's happening out there. I want you to hear something about Memphis. It's one of the most beautiful cities. You love trees and the architecture, the river. We have beautiful sunsets here. We have beautiful parks and the zoo, and we have incredible food. And the people are unbelievably generous. We have more charitable organizations per capita in Memphis, Tennessee than any other place in America. People, your neighbor needs something, you've got somebody that's sick, you better believe they're going to be showing up with a mess of fried chicken and some biscuits or whatever at the front door. That's just who we are. But people are living in fear right now, and it's not right. And Tucker is right about this. If we do not do something, and if we do not address this with force, if we do not get out there in the streets and demand that our elected leaders do their jobs, if we don't get out there and stand alongside the police, if we don't get out there and do our jobs, we will lose our cities, we will lose our towns. And if you don't do something in your community, you will become Memphis. And I want to tell you something. I wouldn't wish that on a gender-confused, pronoun-confused liberal wackadoodle. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I know you love your towns as much as we love ours. That's why I moved back here. I could have stayed in New York City. I could have moved to Washington. I could have done the cool, hip thing and moved to Nash, Vegas. Could have done that. But I came back home. I wanted to make my community better. And we're going to bust our butts trying to make that happen. And I hope you're going to do the same. And that's the point of this radio show, is to let people know, hey, here's what's happening in real America. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com. We'll be right back. We're all feeling the pain at the pump and at the grocery store, too. The market is plunging, and Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. But even worse, seniors are struggling to survive. It's not time to panic, but it is time to act. My friends at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, will help you save money on things like cell phone plans, travel, and restaurants. But AMAC does much more than offer senior discounts. Your membership will support their nonprofit AMAC Action, which takes the challenges against our Constitution and a free market straight to Capitol Hill. Joining is easy. Just go to amac.us/starns to start saving today. 2.3 million Americans have already joined AMAC, and you should too. AMAC cares about you and America, so save money and support conservative causes. Go to amac.us/starns. It's only $16 per year, and great news, anyone can join. Go to amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns. People, welcome back. Good to have you with us. The Todd Starnes radio program, broadcasting from our fortified bunker here in Memphis, Tennessee. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Is the crime getting bad in your town, in your city? Dan is in Kentucky, wants to weigh in on what's happening in Louisville. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. So, you know, I listened to your monologue, and, you know, Louisville is a very similar size city to Memphis. We've had 53 straight years of Democrat rule here, and it's gotten progressively worse. So I did a quick search, and 10 years ago, 2011, we had 51 murders. Last year, 10 years later, 2021, we had 175 murders, more than triple in 10 years, and it's just getting progressively worse. You know, you said this should be a wake-up call for people, but, you know, a few years back, we had a drive-by shooting in which a toddler that was sitting in a car seat on a front porch was killed, and that didn't even wake people up. So I really don't understand what it's going to take other than, you know, getting rid of these crazy liberal mob policies that are just ruining our big cities.
Dan, what are average folks doing? Are you guys talking about this on the local talk radio, or are people like yourself, are you guys in the majority?
So, you know, we have a mayoral election coming up this fall, and I hope and pray that we switch it. We also have a radical school board here made up of 7 members. 4 of those are up for re-election this year. People have finally woke up to the travesty that is the school board. So we're hoping to flip the school board. We're hoping to flip the mayor. I've lived here my whole life. I'm 53 years old. I was born the same year that we had our first Democrat on this tenure. And I've seen it progressively get worse with graffiti and filth and homelessness and hopelessness, and nothing is done about it. You know, the funny thing is, every year at Derby time, the Kentucky Derby, the city will go through, they'll remove homeless camps, they'll clean it up, they'll cut the grass, they'll make it look good for all the visitors, and then the week after Derby, everything goes back to the way it was.
Wow. Well, I wish I could say I was surprised, Dan. We got to run for a break here, but Dan, you hang tight, and you fight the good fight in Louisville. Your city is worth saving. Memphis is worth saving. Your town is worth saving. The question is, how do we do it? What is the first step in taking back our cities, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. Y'all have helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, our good friend, wants to give back exclusively to our listeners. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. You better order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable, and they have a cool, crisp feel. And they come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is a limited supply, so you better order right now. Call 1-800-986-3994 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 1-800-986-3994. Or you can go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS and use the promo code STARNS. All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. So honored to have you with us today. Hey, I want to go to the phones real quick. Let's go to Maine, WLOB. They call that the Big Lobster. Ray Richardson Country. Good friend, radio host up there. Scott on the line. Hey, Scott, what's up? What's going on?
Hey, Scott. I'm Scott, right?
I'm Todd. You're Scott. I'm.
Yeah. Thank you. Hey, I just wanted to mention that, in light of what you were mentioning about the assaults in our major cities, my son lives in Longmont, Colorado, and there have been two shootings, two separate occasions, right in his neighborhood in one of the parks where a 13-year-old boy was killed and a 15 was injured, and just drive-by shooting. And this again happened just a couple days ago, where 10 shots were fired in his neighborhood across the street from where my son lives. And it's just an onslaught of just horrible things that are going on nationwide, and we've got to turn this around. And I'm just tired, like you with these progressive liberals who just turn their backs on this.
Scott, what we've got to get away from, and this is what drives me bonkers here, is when people go and they're getting ready to vote, they're clearly not educated on the issues or the candidates, and they will ask one of two things. What color is the candidate? Are they a Democrat? Mm-hmm. And depending on the answer, it depends on who they're going to cast their vote for. And it's shocking to see, but I saw it firsthand. And we have got to get away from that mindset, or it's going to destroy the country.
Exactly. And the thing is, the conservatives need to rally. And here's a point I want to bring up as well, is that we should not grow weary in well-doing, as the word says. And what concerns me more than anything is the lack of understanding by literally half of our population. That's what concerns me more than the rhetoric that we hear. It's the rhetoric that's destroying our nation. And we, as conservatives and believers, I do not grow weary in it. I will vote for Donald Trump if he runs. There is no question, and I'm not ashamed to say it.
Scott, I'm not ashamed to say it either. He will get my vote. He is the only person I know that will be able to deliver on his promises, and we need a strong leader with a strong backbone at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
That's exactly right. And you know what I tell people here? The reason why they go against him is not because of his foul mouth, and I get it. And, that's not presidential. Yep, I get that. But that's not the point. They're going after him because he's exposing the true enemies and those who are assaulting our nation. And all they do, the enemy, they project their evil on the MAGA people, and it's not us causing these issues. It's not us at all. and we better wake up.
Scott, you're absolutely right, and I appreciate that call. And to Scott's point, you know, Kathy Griffin, the comedian with the bad face job, man, she got it was a horrible situation. She went in and got the plastic surgery, and they made her look worse. I mean, God, bless her heart. I mean, God, geez, aloo. But it also affected her personality. I mean, she used to be funny, and then she became really bitter. And you might remember she had the whole thing where she chopped off the president's head and had the holding the fake bloody head. And so now Kathy Griffin is saying, if you don't vote Democrat, there's going to be a civil war. And people, and Scott is right to remind people of this, it's the Democrats who have been fomenting all of this hate and violence out there. Going back to, 2016, the presidential campaign, where you had all of these progressives going out and beating up Trump supporters, leaving them bloodied in the streets. I did a full year of reporting on that. You had Maxine Waters telling people to get in the faces of the Trump supporters. What was it? You had Pam Bondi, who was the Attorney General of Florida. She went to go see the Mr. Rogers movie, and they literally ran her out of the movie theater. They didn't want her to be their neighbor. It was terrible. I mean, the level of violence. Remember what happened after the George Floyd? There were 3 days of riots in Washington, D.C. They tried to storm the White House. 60 Secret Service agents were injured. They tried to burn down St. John's Church, the church of the president. Where were the federal hearings? Where were the congressional hearings on that? Where was Liz Cheney condemning the violence, condemning the attempt to literally storm the White House and drag President Trump and the first family out and leave them dead or bloodied on the Rose Garden? Where was the outrage then, ladies and gentlemen? Just throwing out those questions. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So when I bring in our news anchor, he has been making national news these days, Ben Dieter, who does the news at KWAM, our flagship station. And Ben, I have to, first of all, you're not from these parts. You went to a university in Ohio, and we hired you down here. Do you regret taking the job here in the war zone?
No, I don't, weirdly enough, because I'm a journalist, and sometimes I feel like I'm a wartime reporter. And it's been an interesting and fascinating way to start the career.
A wartime correspondent.
Yes, in Memphis, Tennessee.
Because you're from, like, peaceful Amish country.
Cornfields.
Where they have, like, the birds chirping and, you know, people frolicking about, churning butter and things of that nature.
Someone jaywalking hits the front page of the paper.
Wow.
Yeah.
So here you are, and you've been covering the Eliza Fletcher kidnapping and the aftermath of that. And I thought it was interesting that the people are coming together. And then on Friday, there's something crazy happening here. And I want you to tell our listeners what people are doing.
Sure. Todd, a lot of people here are terrified in the city of Memphis. And you know, this is a big running community. Of course, you know, you have the St. Jude Marathon. That's one of the biggest races in America. This is a running town. A lot of women are scared to get out there. They're paralyzed and run in the morning. So Todd, it started out as a Facebook post. A runner here, she said, I've got to do this. This is a way to cope. I'm scared to run in Memphis. And she said, and this was her words, quote, I have the right to be a runner, end quote. I have the right to actually get out there and run. So she writes on Facebook, writes a post. She says, hey, ladies out there, do you want to join me and a friend this Friday at 4:20 in the morning where Eliza Fletcher was kidnapped, and let's finish her run. Boom. The post went viral. I just checked before we hopped on this segment. Over 1,200 runners have committed to getting out there at 4:20 in the morning.
Wow.
Nearly 3,000 say they're interested in getting out there to finish the run.
What I find fascinating here is the other side of this, and there's been a big argument and conversation in this country about toxic masculinity, men standing up and protecting women. And what I find interesting is that we're getting reports that men here in Memphis are volunteering to stand guard as the women run on Friday.
Because that's also who's been affected in all of this. Yes, a life was lost. It's devastating, that mother of two, that beloved school teacher. But there's a husband, there's a father, and she was the mom of two boys. You know, this affects men as well. And so it started out as a ladies-only group. It grew so big, and these guys were like, hey, our ladies are out there going to be running at 4:20 in the morning on the heels of the biggest international news story in the country. We're going to be out there as well. So they've included now the men who will be out there. Some are going to be driving along, bicycling beside the women. Some will be standing out protecting the vehicles. That's another big one. The carjackings are out of control here. So the men are stepping up and saying, hey, this affects us as well.
You see, and I think that is, I mean, that is a noble thing for men to do. We are called to protect, as we say, the fairer sex. That's a very unpopular thing to say these days, but I do believe that men have a responsibility to step up and stand in the gap and protect women, and I'm glad to see that happening here. Ben, I want you to hang on. Ben Dieter, who is the news anchor, you've been hearing him on the national news broadcast all over America reporting on this. I want to go to the phones. Keith is listening to us from Memphis, Tennessee on KWAM. Keith, you wanted to weigh in on the running part of this. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I live in Central Gardens, by the way. I think that Eliza lived at the corner of Carr and Willette, and I live on Central. And I wanted to break, there are a lot of people that have made comments about what was she doing at 4:30 in the morning out running. Well, I'm here to answer that. She was a serious long-distance runner. She qualified for the Boston Marathon. And if you're a serious long-distance runner, you don't just run 1 or 2 miles. You have to run like 10 miles a day just to keep up your where you are, not to improve. And she belongs to Second Presbyterian Church, so it's obvious that what her and also she had a full-time day job. She was a junior kindergarten teacher at St. Mary's Episcopal School. So she had to run in the dark if she was going to be a long-distance runner. She'd have to either run in the evening or in the early morning. She chose the early morning, and she ran down Central Avenue. She probably went down Willette to Central and then down Central to her church.
And it's a beautiful area, Keith. It is a beautiful area, and I see a lot of people running in that area every day.
Well, it's called, for old Memphians, the Poplar Corridor. That's the safe part of Memphis to live in if you're white. Okay, let's just put it out there. It's like a Indian arrowhead. The further west you go, the narrower it gets. The further east you go, the wider it gets. And basically, the prevailing wisdom in the real estate market is that if you buy a house outside the Poplar Corridor, you'll have to sell because the neighborhood will get more dangerous, and when you do sell, you'll sell at a loss. If you buy within the Poplar Corridor, you won't have to sell, and if you do sell, you'll sell at a profit.
Now, Keith, let me jump in here and ask you a question about this, because that has been a big issue, I think, the debate was. Why was she, she shouldn't have been out there running at that hour of the day, but as you pointed out, she had to be at school at 7 o'clock in the morning. She, you've got long hours. She had two young boys she had to take care of, and as a long-distance runner, that's the time of morning that you normally run. I'm curious, Keith, to hear from you, a citizen of Memphis. Why do you think this particular case has caused so much attention nationwide?
Well, I think it's let's take it locally and then nationwide. Locally, it's because this happened, this abduction and murder. Nobody's saying rape. There was a rape also. Happened in the Poplar Corridor. This is supposed to be the safe part of town, okay? Running down there, Central and, Second Presbyterian Church and the PDS Presbyterian Day School, Boys School, are all, and Central Gardens and the Bunton East neighborhood that it goes through before you get there, are all considered safe, quote-unquote, parts of town. And the fact that it happened in the Poplar Corridor is really a wake-up call to a lot of Memphians that think that, this is just a problem for the ghetto.
And, Keith, okay? We've only got about 30 seconds here, but nationally, okay, why do you think nationally?
Nationally, I think because it's obvious that she is a good person. She wasn't doing anything to provoke any type of problems. And if Cleotha Gibson had actually served out his entire sentence, he'd be in jail now rather than waiting for, murdering Eliza Fletcher. all of these things are very important to America. The decline of America as a good place to live, in particularly in urban areas, is what is resonating, I think, with the rest of the country.
Keith, I think it's very well said, and we are going to have to let you go, but I thank you for listening to our flagship station, KWAM, in Memphis. And Keith raises an interesting point. We coddle criminals in this country. We coddle criminals. If this man had served out his full sentence, we wouldn't be talking about this story right now. But how many others, how many illegal alien criminals are prowling our streets right now? Very bad people that have come across that border that we don't know about, that have been causing all sorts of horrible crimes. We, under the Democrat rule, we do not consider the victims to be the victims. All right, Ben Dieter, I want you to hang tight. We're going to come back and we're going to wrap up this hour. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Congressman Mike Johnson in the next hour. Crazy story about Disney that you're not going to believe. Also, Hillary Clinton. We're going to get into that as well. This is the Todd Stern Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
All right, folks, coming up, our good friend, Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana. That's going to be a wild conversation. Let's go back to the phones, though. Jeff in Morehead City, North Carolina, the talk station. Jeff, what's on your mind? You're on the air with Ben Dieter.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to respond to your previous caller that he was saying that she was a long-distance runner, and she had to run several miles a day and, you know, this and that. And, you know, first of all, it's a tragedy of what happened. She leaves a husband and children and pupils from where she taught. It's just, it's terrible. And my heart goes out to the family. But I'm calling for your other millions of listeners to say there might be a lot of things that we can do legally. And it may have been legal to jog at 3 or 4 a.m., but was it smart? And that's what we have to start thinking about. When we go to the shopping center and my wife has to go get a gallon of milk, I tell her if it's dim, if their lights aren't good at the supermarket, don't go in. Make sure it's well lit. We have to be vigilant. We have to be smart about what we do. If we're jogging early in the morning and it's dark, I don't care if it's the safest neighborhood. Jog with a runner or do it in the daytime. Or if you can't, then it might be better to take another sport that won't jeopardize yourself and your family. I just hope that the millions of listeners out there will start thinking about danger is all around us.
Jeff, it's a good point. It's a good point you're bringing up here. And I don't know. I mean, Ben Dieter, you're a runner as well, a very accomplished runner. I mean, is it possible to run a long distance with an AR-15?
You know, it's not. But Jeff, you raise a great point. And I myself, I'm a marathoner. I've run a marathon, and you do have to run some of those long distance runs. I believe her regular route that morning was 8 miles and 8.2 miles. And so when does someone fit that into their day? That's what he's asking. Well, he says maybe you don't, or can you even? I think what he's making the point of, and I think he's needling that line of the not victim blaming, because that's where we're at with some of these statements. I don't think he's at all blaming Eliza Fletcher. He is calling on her and other runners like her to be vigilant. And I think geographical context is everything. Where I grew up, it's probably a lot safer in the morning to go out on your morning run. In the city of Memphis and your Chicago, D.C., Baltimore, use some common sense, folks.
All right. Ben Dieter, news anchor at KWAM, but you've probably been hearing him on your national radio broadcast. Ben, appreciate all the intel and information, and know you're going to have a busy week.
That's right. We'll all be right. Following this story for
good
you, Todd.
Good stuff. All right. Ben, thank you. Folks, we've got to take a break here. It's an interesting thought that our caller from North Carolina says you got to use common sense. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hour two of the Todd Stern Show coming up next.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hate to break this news to all of you Disney fans out there, but apparently the people now in control over at Walt Disney have given Prince Charming the heave-ho, and they've hired the Prince of Darkness. I'm not making this up. The Disney is embracing the occult, and specifically the Antichrist, to help us. No, I'm not making this up, Gracemaker. This is the God's honest truth. It's the most bizarre thing. Big, big controversy surrounding a Disney cartoon that was advertised during the LSU Florida State game. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Congressman Mike Johnson actually brought this to everybody's attention. We were going to have the congressman on yesterday. When was the big game, Congressman?
It was Labor Day Eve on Sunday night.
That's right. And your staff told us you were in mourning yesterday, so we wanted to bring you on today. What a crazy game, by the way.
Oh, let's not even talk about that. My Tigers had a terrible ending there. But that was not, as you point out, Todd, that was not the most shocking thing about the game. It was this trailer for this crazy cartoon built as a sitcom, this new animated feature by FX, which is owned by Disney. And of course, they own ABC as well. That's the network that was airing the game. And they chose to run this ad during the second quarter as the trailer for this, I mean, truly demonic, I mean, by design, a demonic sitcom cartoon, and I was so disturbed by it, Todd. I just felt like people needed to know, so I made a little Facebook post, and it started a furor.
It's called Little Demon is the name of the show, and it involves I'll just read this from the description. 13 years after being impregnated by Satan, a reluctant mother, Laura, and her Antichrist daughter, Chrissy, attempt to live an ordinary life in Delaware. I wonder if they know the Bidens. Huh. But are constantly thwarted by monstrous forces, including Satan, who yearns for custody of his daughter's soul. It seems to me they're just trying to normalize paganism here, and that's exactly what the producer says was the intent of this cartoon.
That was the goal. And, you know, they're not hiding it. I mean, they're saying the quiet parts out loud now. We've known this kind of stuff has gone on in popular culture and the media for years, but now it's just right there in your face. And that's not even the worst of it. I mean, you know, if you read some of these online reviews about this program, they've already aired 4 episodes. It's just filled with, quote-unquote, spectacularly gory sequences. It has lines in the programs like, quote, let's go boil some babies while their heads are still soft. I mean, you know, it sounds like we're making this stuff up, but they are celebrating this. I mean, Disney, FX, those companies have decided that they're going to embrace and market what is obviously evil, right? And my only admonition on social media was, hey, parents, you know, be careful. Look, let me point this out. Todd, I didn't call for censorship. I didn't call for new legislation. I didn't even call for a boycott of Disney, although that seems to have started organically now. I just said, hey, y'all, be careful, right? Our job as parents is to guard the hearts and minds of our kids. And this culture has become so alarmingly dark and desensitized, you got to be on guard. Stay far from this. And, man, I tell you what, it has gone everywhere. I mean, millions and millions of people are seeing this and engaging in the debate about it now and commenting on it, and it's really just taken off.
And Congressman, I think the issue, and you're right, you didn't call for a boycott. You didn't say, oh, you know, we've got to shut this down. You were just cautioning moms and dads, and I think that's what really set the left off. You know, they don't want parents involved in what their kids are learning, whether it be in a cartoon or in the public school classroom.
No, that's exactly right, and this has been the trend now for years, and we've seen it in vivid color now. I mean, they can't deny it. That's what all of this is about. And look, you and I talk about this all the time, Todd. The culture war is real, okay? We have to be careful today. You can't let evil things be overlooked all the time. You can't let it be minimized, because then it gradually becomes normalized. And, of course, that is the goal. I mean, this is a spiritual battle. You know, it is what it is. And free speech is important. And, you know, all these people have come out, you know, we're taking incoming fire from everywhere. It doesn't bother me at all. That's part of this, right? But I've had to point out, and I did another post, I said, listen, free speech is an important principle, and everybody obviously can make their own decisions about whatever media they and their families are going to consume. But a corollary to that is that Christians, the people of faith, have the freedom to fulfill our biblical obligation to speak the truth in love. And that's especially important if the message and the truth is not popular. And so that's what we have to do. We have to call it out. And I'm grateful that this has raised awareness. And, you know, hopefully it has the desired effect.
And I think, quite frankly, it also did something that is really a miracle these days. Snopes actually got something right on one of their fact checks.
Yeah, right. It caused such a uproar that they demanded that Snopes do a fact check. And, yeah, they came out this morning and he said, Representative Johnson's post is true. Everything in there. Look, Todd, you know, I'm a lawyer. I'm not going to put something out there that's not well documented and thought out. I assume that people would disagree with this. So everybody can go verify this for themselves. They're not making a bit of this up. And, you know, their claim is, oh, don't worry, this is marketed to adults, right? Don't worry. It's on the streaming service. It's on FX, and you have to go find it. Well, it's a cartoon. Of course it's going to attract teenagers. The main protagonist, the main character in the program is the Antichrist. They've depicted as a 13-year-old girl, right? They know what this is about. It's about the almighty dollar. And controversy attracts viewers, and they know that kids are going to find this stuff. By the way, it's already streaming on Disney Plus overseas. That was verified this morning as well. So just be on guard. That's it. We have to know what we're up against, and this isn't a game.
Well, I think it's great advice, and I'm glad you pointed it out. I think parents do need to know about these kinds of things, and the rule now is you can't even trust Disney to have the best interest of your kids at heart, whether it be promoting Satanism or promoting this radical sex and gender philosophy and ideology these days.
Well, that's right, and there is a battle for the minds and for the hearts of our kids, and they're exposed to things in classrooms now that we couldn't have imagined even a decade ago. the popular culture has gone completely to the dark side. And think of what Walt Disney would say about this. I mean, can you imagine how far this company has slidden? And, again, they're not hiding it. They're like, yeah, challenge us. That's fine. We're gonna market this. And so you just need to be on guard. This is not your parents' Walt Disney Company. Okay,
that's true.
And it is not your parents' classroom either.
All right. Well, Congressman, we really appreciate you jumping on the show today to bring us up to speed on this. And sorry about the football game. Good luck. It's a long season.
That's right. Thanks, buddy.
All right. That's Congressman Mike Johnson. That's GEAUX. Go Tigers. That's how they say it down in Cajun country. All right. Crazy. We've got the story up on our website, toddstearns.com. And the congressman's right. He is not calling for a boycott. He's just saying, hey, moms, dads, you need to be aware. But those are trigger words. I'm surprised the congressman didn't get a visit from the FBI. But the left, the progressives, they don't want you moms and dads in the equation. You birth the kids, and then they belong to the government. That's their belief system. Hey, I want to go to the phones real quick here. We stirred up a bit of a conversation with a caller in the last hour who wondered if it was really appropriate for women to be jogging at 4:30 in the morning. Are they needlessly putting themselves in harm's way? I want to go to Morehead City, North Carolina, the talk station. Our good buddy Lockwood Phillips, who is the owner and, by the way, an incredible American patriot, and the guy knows all the great restaurants in that part of the country. Lockwood, good to have you back with us.
Todd, good to be back. Thanks very much. I appreciate this. And we need to get you back down here. We had a great time last time you were here.
The Sanitary Fish House. I remember that.
Yeah, Sanitary Restaurant. Yep, you got it. hey, real quickly, I just wanted to respond to the caller that called in about being safe. Let me explain. Like to brag. I've run a marathon, and my daughters have all run marathons, and they're runners, and my grandchildren, et cetera. The reason we run at 4:00 in the morning, to Jeff's comment, is because it is safer at that time of day because there are fewer cars on the road. And when we do see the cars on the road, they're far and few between. They usually have their lights on. And we, of course, as runners, we're lit up so that we're visible as well. So in regards to the issue of safety, it is safer to run at 3:00 in the morning because there are fewer cars on the road and there's less chance of being hit. And in the middle of the day, there's too much traffic and they're too distracted. This is one of those issues that is very serious to runners. So I appreciate his concern about being secure and running in neighborhoods where it's safer. But the reason we run at that time, at 0:30 in the morning, is so that we aren't roadkill.
And that's good to know. And that's, you don't want to be roadkill. Lockwood, there in Morehead City, how is crime there? I mean, you guys have a lot of military bases around, a lot of very conservative folks in that part of the country.
Well, it's funny you should bring that topic up. It's a topic in our local newspaper, the News Times, which I'm associated. And we have three murders that we are chasing down right now. And one of them, interestingly enough, took place in Atlantic Beach. The individual was heading out early in the morning because that's when fishermen like to leave. He was heading out to do some fishing, and he saw three individuals, we think it's number of three, breaking into vehicles. And we're not sure if he tried to stop them or if they simply saw him as a target, but he was stabbed to death, not shot to death. And then we have two individuals who were housebound, two brothers who suffered from a genetic disease that they were mobile, but still had to be very cautious about being out in public. And they were killed. So, you know, it is interesting. We're seeing this this plethora of, I hate to use the term, but plethora of murders. And, you know, it's interesting, the left is all pointing to gun manufacturers. They aren't pulling the triggers. But the other interesting thing, to your point, is look at where the events are actually taking place in safe cities like Portland, Oregon. what is the common theme here? I think you look at the politics.
That's it. That's it. Lockwood, we got to leave it there, my friend. It is always good to hear from you, and we love your radio station. You guys are doing a great job out there in North Carolina.
Well, thank you very much. We love having you, Todd. It's a great program.
Thank you. All right, Lockwood Phillips, everybody, from Moorhead City, the talk station. Got to take a quick break. We're going to go right back to the phones, but we do have a special report. I don't know how our investigative reporter, Paul Shanklin, which I think we're the only conservative talk radio station in America with our own investigative reporter. But he was able to get his hands on a classified Clinton message. Let's listen and let's see what Paul's got for us.
Now a message from former President Bill Clinton.
My fellow Americans, like you, I was shocked that Donald Trump brought classified documents and empty classified folders to his home in Mar-a-Lago. We only removed furniture, some of the bushes and towels from the White House when we left. And as Secretary of State, I need to remind you that Hillary took no classified emails on her hard drive that could be recovered when she left office. Now, because of the sensitivity of this raid, I volunteered to personally help the FBI on site. Right now, I can only reveal that Melania is not a size 4, especially in her swimwear. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Oh, geez, Alou. All right. I don't know how Shanklin finds this this intel, but good for him. Who knew Bill Clinton was involved in the raid at Mar-a-Lago? God only knows how Hillary's covering her butt. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hope you're having a good day out there, America. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, broadcasting from our fortified bunker in Memphis, Tennessee. Let's go to the great state of Ohio, the Buckeye State. Hey, Joanne, guess who's coming to your town? President Trump.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's going to be doing a big rally in Youngstown, Ohio. So exciting news.
Good. I'm a big Trump supporter, so. But I live down the other end of the state. But Todd, I do have something to say. I think the answer to all this for, you know, women wanting to jog is get a treadmill. It's safe 24 hours a day.
Oh, so you think, you know, I was talking to somebody about that, Joanne, and someone told me that the long distance runners, if they're training for a race, they can't really do it on the treadmill. They got to be out, pounding the pavement, as they say.
Oh, well, I don't know much about long-distance running. But anyway, I thought I'd just, you know, that's my input on it.
Joanne, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening. Renee says, Todd, I would love to have been a long-distance runner, but when I had two babies, a husband and a job, I laid the running idea down because it didn't make sense for me to take the risk. Sure, it's her right, but you've got to use common sense these days. It boils down to good choices. That's when I purchased a treadmill and elliptical machine. I'm sorry this happened to her, but come on, ladies, use your head. That's coming from a fellow lady named Renee, writing on our Facebook page. Let's go to Mark in the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Hey, Mark, what say you?
Hey, Todd. You know, there's too many abductions in this country where the killer gets a plea bargain and ends up getting life. Case in point, Kelsey Smith, 2007, was abducted in a parking lot and raped and sodomized and strangled by her own belt and thrown away. Melissa Miller lived in Simsbury, not far from my mother in Connecticut. She was killed by an obsessive individual, too, who never... The only way he got caught is he confessed to his preacher 4 years later. You know, Todd, we live in a new era and need to be very cautious. Why they want to jog alone is way beyond me. My advice, don't jog alone, period. And if you must, have a gun and learn how to use it. Also, change your routine and don't do the same thing over and over again. Always be aware of your surroundings at all times. And when in parking lots, don't park next to vans, box trucks, or cars with full tint that look shady. Use common sense. Todd, with this ignorant administration letting illegals into this country and prosecutors letting killers back onto the street, this is only going to get worse. I emphasize this. Don't jog alone. Or if you do, be trained to handle a situation. It's that simple. Simple. Capital murder should carry a death sentence. And do it swiftly, 6 months to a year.
And I say do it publicly, Mark. I think this guy, he's found guilty. You haul him out and put him before a firing squad. Do whatever you got to do. These kids need to know there will be consequences if they go out there and kidnap somebody or shoot somebody. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So happy to have you with us today. Folks, we've been telling you for a long time now, you've got to support companies and organizations that share values. It's incredibly important, especially nowadays, which is why we support Patriot Mobile, America's only conservative wireless carrier. They're doing an incredible job. I mean, tens of thousands of people are making the switch. I've heard from a number of our listeners who love the service. It's super simple. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd and check out all of their great opportunities and deals. Get this. Use my promo code Todd. They're going to give you free activation and a free gift. First responders, veterans, you guys are going to get an additional discount at patriotmobile.com/Todd. You can also give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT, but be sure to use that promo code Todd. All right, very honored to have with us in studio here in our fortified bunker, a good friend of this program, a great patriot, and he is one of the city councilmen here in Memphis, Tennessee, Chase Carlisle. Chase, also, your family has done a lot to really change the skyline of Memphis, Tennessee. You guys are invested here in this city.
We are, and thanks for having me out today. We, like many people, you know, born and raised here and love Memphis and are going to fight and invest in any way we can to make it better.
You know, Tucker Carlson last night, Fox News Channel, I think it really stunned a lot of people. I mean, we've been telling people that what's been happening in Memphis really is a microcosm of what's been happening all over America. But for Tucker Carlson on national television to say, you know, this is what's happening in Memphis. Why would people move to Memphis? Well, it's my hometown. And I wanted to come back and invest, and this is your town. You guys are invested here. And I was so encouraged to hear you this morning, the anger in your voice, which is righteous indignation. We need that tone right now in this city.
Absolutely. You know, look, Memphis has a lot of good things going for it and a lot of people that are cheering it on and fighting for it. But there is real evil out there in the world, and it needs people that are willing to fight and stand up against it.
What are you guys facing on the city council? We know that there are many who are anti-police in leadership here. The police department, they did an amazing job. I don't know how they were able to do it. Because they're down, what, 600-700 officers from their full complement.
Yeah, so we are our complement, or at least recommended complement, somewhere around 2,500. We have 1,900 officers. What occurred this weekend was nothing shy of a miracle. Within 80 hours of notification of a missing person to have a suspect in custody and have recovered Liza's body is incredible work, and all agencies involved should be commended for that.
I mean, I understand some officers were working, you know, upwards of 24, 30, 40 hours.
Chief Don Crow, who led the investigation, is the second in command, is your old school rank and file officer and well respected, was a masterful in the command center, and I don't think he took but a few hours off throughout the process.
You have a connection. Your family has a connection to Eliza Fletcher.
Yes. So I've known Liza and her family for many, many years. My wife went to school with her since the second grade and is very close. It's been a very difficult week for us and for a lot of people. But more importantly is to keep the focus on supporting Liza's family and praying and thinking about them and doing anything we can to help them work through the grief.
I can't even imagine what they must be going through. Have you had a chance to talk to the family? How are they doing?
I think that I have reached out to a couple family members. I think, again, they are still processing just all that has gone on. And as the details kind of come in about what has transpired, just trying to process again just the evil that has occurred here and just how something like this could happen.
You were one of the first people to speak out about the seriousness and the significance of this moment. We had a tough-on-crime Republican district attorney. The voters said, we don't want that. We want a progressive Democrat in the George Soros style, Steve Mulroy, who wants bail reform, wants to raise the juvenile age, to 25 years old for crime. What is your message to the district attorney?
Yeah, look, my extraordinary circumstances require an extraordinary response. And in the state of Tennessee, capital punishment is certainly on the table. And I believe as the details continue to come out, more and more of the public will understand that we need to send a very clear message that things like this won't be tolerated, and that includes seeking the death penalty.
I heard you say that earlier, and I don't want you to get into graphic details, but I've heard some pretty horrible things. We haven't heard the full story of what happened to Eliza.
No, the Memphis Police Department and their agencies are still investigating. The ME's office obviously is still conducting their review and examination, and I think you're going to see some more charges coming. I can't say much more than that, but I will say that even without those charges, I think we've approached the litmus test for bringing the death penalty, period.
You're on the city council of one of the largest cities in America, one of the deadliest cities in America. How do we fix this? How do we make Memphis safe again?
Yeah, I think there's a couple ways you have to look at it. You have to look at the near term, right? So when we look at a triage, so to speak, there is only one thing that I'm aware of in the data point that when you talk about violent crime and deterrence, and that's arrest and convictions, period, full stop. You look at New York in the early 1990s, through the mid to late 90s, it's arrest and convictions will send down violent crime. And then over the long term, we do have a responsibility to bring back family, the nuclear family, and support community services and make sure that kids are going to school and that they're literate and have access to, economic opportunity.
You know, that worked for Rudy Giuliani when he was mayor of New York City, faced with a very similar situation, and they started cracking down on the nuisance crimes, the broken windows. And I know a lot of people get upset about that, but in reality, that actually stopped crime in New York City.
Absolutely. Look, the truth in sentencing law that's become kind of a divisive issue really is not targeting everybody serving every penalty. We're talking about very specific violent offenders. Nobody wants to send a kid that's 17, 18 years old for selling an ounce of weed to jail for 35 years and put him in contact. We want to help find that kid a work release program and get them the counseling and support they need. And so, but we know statistically speaking that these sentences where you're serving, aggravated assault, you term out 15 years and you serve 4, is not working for us.
And we know that the suspect who was who's in jail now, we know that he had a violent juvenile criminal record before the kidnapping. So my question is, knowing what we knew and what they knew about this guy, why in the world would they let somebody like that out of prison even 24 hours ahead of when he was supposed to be set free?
I can't speak for the DOC, but data will data typically in the white papers will tell you that there is a crowding issue, and so that they look for opportunities with percentages of time release for good behavior and whatnot. But it just becomes a no one's doing the work to really review these cases and say whether or not these people are, quote, rehabilitated. And I think that's why I'm really have been supportive of the mayor's effort and Cameron Sexton at the state government, the Speaker of the House, for those listening, that we have a truth in sentencing where for violent offenses, you are going to serve 100% of your prison sentence.
And the shocking part of that is even the governor, who is a Republican, Bill Lee, refused to put his signature on that.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I understand the governor believes and works in a lot of prison reform groups, and his belief is that. But we're not talking about it. I just want to say this very clearly. We are not talking about somebody that got upset in a parking lot and punched somebody in the face in a dispute over parking. We are talking about aggravated rape, aggravated assault, attempted murder, first degree, second. We are talking about the worst of the worst serving 100% of their sentences.
If the district attorney in Memphis does not go for the death penalty, what kind of a message does that send?
I think it sends a message that we're not willing to – we're taking one of the largest deterrents and punishments off the table. And so look at it this way. If he's a negotiator, how do you negotiate for life without the possibility of a parole if there's nothing worse on the table? I think it sends a message that we're going to be soft on crime.
I think you're absolutely right there. And as a developer, again, folks, if you have been to downtown Memphis, the Carlyles have revolutionized our city, brand new skyline, and more buildings are going up. I have to imagine that's bad for business when you've got a war zone in down in places like downtown.
Yeah, look, we are still very committed to the city of Memphis, and we'll do everything within our power, both from a political aspect and an investment aspect. We've invested and are trying to invest close to $500 million in downtown Memphis alone. But the statistics are the statistics. I mean, we're when you're trying to get builders risk insurance and they do a crime profile and they say, hey, we've had 63 acts of crime within a mile of your hotel, that's hard to explain away. And so we've really, really got to continue to get people to invest, be active, be dense, and to have the police department out there being a presence.
Chase, I know that the city council of Memphis, you guys are nonpartisan. What is the message that other cities and towns need to hear from what's happening on the city council in Memphis?
Yeah, the city council's come a long way from defund the police like a lot of other places. And I will say that we held strong through the last few budgeting processes, but they need to know that we're very serious and we have voted for over during ARPA, $42 million for police. We put another $100 million in for recruiting and retainment. We not only want the best police officers, we want the best to stay with us. And we're very serious about that.
All right. Chase, I appreciate you coming in today, and we appreciate the commitment your family has made. The Stearns family, we're committed on the communication and media side. There are a lot of people that want to make this city great, and it really is the best place to live in America.
I didn't. If you're truly committed to seeing the best possible Memphis, don't let this moment go. Stay involved. Stay active. We have elections coming up in October. We've got elections coming up in this November and then October 23. Show up to the polls. 25% of people showed up in the Shelby County elections of registered voters. That's unacceptable. So show up and be a part of the system.
Elections have consequences, ladies and gentlemen.
They
all right.
Do.
Chase Carlyle, a city councilman in Memphis, Tennessee, 844-747-8868. We have listeners all across America, and I want you guys to learn from what is happening in Memphis. We cannot allow this to happen nationally. We just can't do it. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Oh, Lord. Kathy Griffin is back in the news. Remember her? Yeah, the D-list comedian. She's saying that if you don't want a civil war, you need to vote for Democrats in November. Not exactly a veiled threat there. You might remember Kathy was it 2017? She had the photo with the fake severed head of President Trump, the bloody head. Folks, I want you to understand something about Kathy Griffin and these radical progressives out there. Violence is their calling card. We saw that during the 2016 presidential election. You had Trump supporters. They were attacked in the street. Remember what happened in 2020? Washington, D.C., in the aftermath of George Floyd. What happened? 3 days. They tried to burn down Washington, D.C. They literally set fire to St. John's Church. They tried to storm the White House. 60 Secret Service agents were injured in the attacks. There were no hearings. There was no condemnation from the mainstream media. Absolutely nothing. So that's why when you look at what happened on J6 and whatever happened on J6, which we have condemned, there is a clear double standard here. And by the way, let's talk about civil war for just a moment. If history serves me correctly, the only people talking about civil war right now are the Democrats, and they did the same thing back in the 1860s. So they sort of have a track record here. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868, Memphis, Tennessee. William, listening to us on KWAM. William, what's on your mind today?
What's up, Todd? Great show as usual.
Thank you.
There's lots of things you're talking about right now, but one of the previous callers was talking about he can't understand why women would run alone. I mean, we're not going to let criminals just scare us into changing our complete lives. Just because, the actions. And, at one point, good thing about bringing the councilman on, I know quite a few police officers, and I know a lot of good ones that have actually just resigned recently. And one of the things is, it's you know, they're throwing money at them, and I know that. I know they both got, they got a 5% increase this year, 5% increase next year. But the problem is the policies that the upper level of management of the police departments are pushing on to these police, where you can't pull people over for no reason anymore. You can't, like, if someone looks suspicious, don't matter what color they are, you can't pull them over. There's lots of limitations on what they can do now. Well, you know, the Giuliani effect was, you know, the broken windows. They try to stop the small thing. And they figured the bigger criminals, the criminals did started with the small stuff first, and that's how they went to the larger stuff, because you stop the bad guys, they don't just all do murders. They do other things as well. And the police right now are not allowed to do the smaller thing. No one wants to talk about it, I'm sure. And, you know, when I watched Mueller at that thing yesterday, that conference they had, you know, he looked so, like, he was so out of place. Like, he just didn't want to be there. Like, I don't know, it just looks weird him standing there. Like, he was made to be there. You know, he...
He looks like a wuss. I hate to say this. He looks like one of those snowflakes. He looks like a little snowflake compared to the Republican, Amy Weirich. And I got to tell you, say what you will about the former district attorney, but she would have gone out there, and after, you know, all is said and done and they find the guy guilty, she would, you know, I don't know, she'd be on the firing squad. She was a fierce woman, and I think that's why they were terrified of her, because she enforced the laws on the books. And I don't think that's going to be happening moving forward.
25%. I mean, I was amazed the next morning. I really didn't even think about it. I thought there's no way Mulroy would win. And I woke up and I heard him talking about how the Democrats had this incredible victory. I'm like, no way. Are you kidding me? I was literally in shock when I heard that. I literally heard it on your station early in the morning, the 6 o'clock one that comes on. And I just can't believe people were just that oblivious to let these progressives, they hear about what's going on around across the freaking country, let that happen here where crime is already out of control.
William, elections have consequences, my friend.
Absolutely.
They have consequences. Absolutely. All right, we got to leave it there. God bless you, sir, and thank you for calling. It's true. I mean, if you don't get out and vote, you folks in Georgia, I mean, you've got a responsibility to get out there. You folks in Pennsylvania, some of the battleground states, got a lot of work to do. And we're going to talk politics for the full hour. I know our good friend Joe from LJ is going to be hanging on, because there's some good polling data now coming out of Georgia with that Herschel Walker Raphael Warnock race, and we're going to get into that. Also, this Fetterman guy out of Pennsylvania. The poor guy's had a stroke. You know, he's had a stroke. And I just want to say this, and we'll play the audio coming up in the next hour. This guy is not well. He has had a stroke, and it's very clear that his health is not good. I will say this. In 2009, I had a heart surgery, major open heart surgery in 2005 to repair a birth defect. And as a result of that, I ended up having a stroke in 2009. And by the grace of God, I was able to fully recover. But it took a good year and a half to get back on my feet after that moment. And for Fetterman, John Fetterman, to be out back on the campaign trail, that is obscene, that someone in his family did not step in and say, hey, Fetterman, John, you can't do this, man. You just can't do it. And they did the same thing. The Democrats are really bad about this stuff. They did the same thing to Joe Biden. I don't think Joe Biden really wanted to run for the White House. I think Jill Biden wanted him to run. And I think Jill Biden, quite frankly, at the end of the day, is probably guilty of elder abuse. Because Joe Biden can't even string a sentence together. He has his mind has the consistency of porridge or cottage cheese. It's not his fault. He's just getting old. Anyway, it's sad because it's a symptom of being soulless. That's what's happening over on the Democrat side. Oh, got to take a break, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Big doings underway right now at the White House. President Obama is speaking. No, there wasn't a coup. They were unveiling, and this literally happened within the past 60 seconds. They've just unveiled the official portraits of former President Obama and the former First Lady. President Biden actually kept calling Barack Obama Mr. President. And I hope that Biden is aware that that is actually his job. Anyway, we'll post images of the portraits. Not all that. The one with Barack Obama looks weird. It's Barack Obama with a completely white background. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what that's symbolic of. Mrs. Obama's looks pretty good from what I can see. It's very lovely portrait of the former First Lady. Anyway, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right away. Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee joins us. Senator, good to have you on the program today.
It's good to be back with you, Todd. Thank you.
I'm just assuming you are not in the audience at the unveiling of the portraits.
No, I was not. Was not invited to that unveiling, and gladly so.
We've got a lot to talk about, Senator. I want to start with the news coming out of these FBI investigations, the raid on Mar-a-Lago. We learned over the weekend that President Trump says they actually raided Barron Trump's bedroom, the 16-year-old, now 16-year-old son of the president. Melania Trump's private possessions were also rummaged through. Should we be concerned about all of this, Senator?
We certainly should be concerned. What the Biden administration has done is absolutely weaponized law enforcement here in America to their own political ends. And, you know, I heard the point made very clearly after the president revealed that Barron's room had been raided. What about Hunter Biden? You know, they won't bother Hunter Biden, who's been, clearly involved in the massive Biden Inc. pay-to-play operation, getting money to the big guy and abusing his power. Instead, what they do is they go down and raid Barron's room, a soccer player, a 16-year-old boy. It's just beyond the pale. And the American public sees this, Todd, and they see right through it. What the Biden administration is trying to do is well beyond anything that's tolerable here in America. This is moving us towards some sort of totalitarian state where there's one party in control. Clearly, Biden thinks it should be himself and the Democrats, and we have got to stand up against this in November, and I feel good we will.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I think people have to get out to the polls and send a message about all of this. Again, President Trump just a few moments ago coming out and saying not only did they steal his passports, and the FBI came out and said, no, we didn't do that, and then it turns out they had to admit they, in fact, did do that. Now the president is saying that they also took highly confidential medical files and medical history. All this information, you really wonder, what is the FBI up to, and why would they overstep like that and take that sort of information?
Yeah, Todd, and I also heard that they took his tax returns. They can't obtain them through any other method, so they're going to use the FBI to go get them now, too. The whole thing is just, as I said, beyond the pale. This should never be happening in America. And you've got Joe Biden basically using the FBI to go after his number one political opponent. It is shocking to all of us. And when you look at the double standard here, I mean, we just got two lanes of justice in America right now under this administration. You know, one for the Democrats, where you let people like Hillary Clinton and her husband, running one of the most corrupt pay-to-play operations in the world, the Clinton Foundation, you know, they're allowed to skate free with confidential information getting bleached bit. They never got searched. Bill Clinton was able to keep all the tapes in his drawer that he took from the White House. He actually got a federal judge to agree that those were declassified by virtue of the act of him taking those tapes from the White House. Why doesn't that same legal authority bind this Department of Justice? It is just they're making it up as they go along. It's all political, and I think that the American public has had it they have completely had it.
I think you're absolutely right, and it's important to hear those words coming from you because, Senator, you're not one of the firebrands. You know, you're not out there every single day on these issues. You've got a lot of other irons in the fire. So for you to come out and say the American people need to be concerned about this, they need to be aware, that should speak volumes to the seriousness of this issue.
Well, it certainly does, and it concerns me as deeply as any American. And, you know, what I've been focused on up here are issues that relate to the economy because I'm a business person, issues related to our national security because I'm the only person serving here in the Senate who himself was a former ambassador. This is, you know, where you want to try to serve your state is where you can make the biggest difference. But when you have the very foundations of America being attacked, you're going to hear from me loud and clear. And this is one of those instances where you've seen a political party come in, take charge. They control now the House, the Senate, and the White House. And they are abusing their authority like never before. Their policies have been disastrous for America. We all know that. Inflation at record high levels with what they've done with energy, basically waging war on the fossil fuel industry here in America, has made us weaker as a nation. And then collapsing our southern border, the crime rate's through the roof. We've got fentanyl deaths, you know, raging through America thanks to the collapse of the southern border. And over 160 different nationalities have been apprehended at our southern border since Joe Biden took office. So you think about the lack of our security, the disgrace that we've felt since Afghanistan overseas, and the fact that the world has become far more dangerous. That's what we need to be talking about right now. Instead, the Biden administration is, you know, going around forgiving student loans and, you know, having the president stand up at Independence Hall in Philadelphia and wage war on 75 million Americans, calling us all, you know, unfit MAGA Republicans that are enemies of the state. It's just shocking. It's beyond the pale again, and I've had it.
Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to weigh in on this national news story coming out of Memphis, Tennessee, with this horrible kidnapping and murder involving the granddaughter of a billionaire philanthropist, Eliza Fletcher. People are very concerned, and they're especially concerned about the district attorney's office and whether or not justice is going to be served here.
Well, you've got a hardened criminal here, somebody that's already done this, that, you know, has done this crime before in terms of kidnapping, you know, sexual assault. But the whole thing is just beyond comprehension that these people are put back on the street. My understanding is that his entire apartment complex lived in fear of this guy. Yet he's roaming the street. He comes back and repeats the same crime. Clearly, he was not not rehabilitated in the judicial system. And for him to have been put back on the street to create such a heinous crime, it's just awful. My heart goes out to her family, to her students, the people in the community that obviously loved her dearly. This sort of thing should never happen. I certainly hate to see it happening in my home state. We've got to get this under control. The crime situation in America has taken on a new twist since the Democrats came out with this whole defund the police thing. And, you know, it's made it very hard for law enforcement to recruit good candidates because they feel like the American public, in many cases, were not with them. That's been true in these blue cities that have, you know, these Democrats that, you know, are in charge of enforcing the law. As prosecutors, you know, these guys that are funded by George Soros that won't enforce the law, they pride themselves in not enforcing the law. And what you have is a sense then of lawlessness and an emboldening of the criminal class that results in, you know, a crime wave that's sweeping across our nation and then just came home to roost in Memphis.
And Senator, you know, you're talking about economic development. You are a businessman. We just had Chase Carlisle, and of course, the Carlisle family, huge developers here in Memphis. I'm a small business owner, but there are so many people that want to make their towns and cities all over America great. You can't do that if there is lawlessness in the streets.
That's absolutely true. And you mentioned economic development. You know, Todd, I was the economic development chief in Tennessee for a period, and that was a time that we turned our state's economy around. But one of the critical elements to making Tennessee attractive is to have not only a good business climate, but a safe environment for families to live and grow. We've made Tennessee, I think, one of the most desirable places to live in America, but crime cuts exactly the other way. We need to be strong on crime. We need to be diligent as we look at you know, paroling criminals like this. We need to be diligent as we look at who is responsible for prosecuting criminals in our cities and states. So it's a real important area that we need to focus on, and it's critical to our economic development as well, as you mentioned.
Well said. Senator, we're going to leave it there. Hope to run into you at Neyland Stadium sometime this football season.
I'll look forward to that, Todd. Thank you very much. It's always good to be
with you. All right. Take care, Senator. Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. So we've been following the developments here from the White House, which is just bizarre. We're getting the photos up on our website of the portraits. Something is just off. I can't put my finger on it, but something is not right about these portraits. It's just odd. So Barack Obama Grace, correct me if I'm wrong here, it's just a white background. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't see anything. His is weird. I think hers is really pretty.
I do too.
But his is weird.
It's odd. It's very
odd. It's
just kind
of like plain.
So anyway, we got what Joe Biden is whispering in the ear.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it wasn't the big effing whatever. He didn't drop an F-bomb.
No.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Well, let's listen to what he had to say.
You know, Michelle, he knows, we all know, he couldn't have done it without you.
Oh.
What the heck,
that's
man?
Weird. That's creepy. What? Can you play it again?
You know, Michelle, he knows, we all know, he couldn't have done it without you.
I don't even want to know what he's talking about.
I don't think anybody can laugh. They're like, "Well, that's creepy."
It's very creepy.
That's weird. All right, we're gonna have we posted these. Let's get them up on the live show blog. We've got them on the live show blog. You can take a look at the portraits. Something is off, and I cannot put my finger on it. Maybe you can. 844-747-8868, toll free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. I'm still not getting it here. It looks like a passport photo, right? That's exactly what it looks like. And Grace, you've had to go get a passport before, a driver's license. They make you stand behind, you know, this white background.
Yep.
And they snap your photo.
And you're blinking half the time.
And there you go. That's what it looks like.
That's a good description.
Hers is very nice. But anyway, the White House actually, I guess a lot of people have been asking the same questions we have.
Yes.
So they've sent out some information. These are not, it looks like a photograph.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not.
I can tell hers is a painting.
They're calling it photorealistic.
Oh.
So what's the point? I mean, the whole point of a portrait is you can tell it's been painted.
True.
Right? Anyway, the portrait was done by Robert McCurdy during a short photo session. It's his preference to work from images rather than sketches. So anyway, they say that I'm just going to read the description here just so I'm, you know, it's them talking about this and not me. But they say that Obama is standing in front of a stark white background. So what does that mean? What is the symbolism? The black president in front of a stark white background. What does that symbolize? Meanwhile, the first lady looks good.
It looks like a normal portrait.
She's wearing a formal blue dress on a sofa with a lovely pink background.
Yep, that looks like what you would
expect.
Looks
like a picture. It's a nice portrait.
Yes.
I think Obama got the short end of the stick
here. He did.
Poor
fella.
That's terrible. And the other one, remember the other one that's in the National Portrait Gallery where it looks like he's like in a forest.
Yes.
With all this foliage.
Well, that's what everybody thought was the official one.
You know, and I know where they got the idea. If you've been to the Atlanta airport and you have to go into those, the underground tunnels, mm-hmm. and each one has their own like little theme. You've got Atlanta old history. That's the white people are really evil section.
Uh-oh.
And then you've got Zimbabwe. With the drums and the whatevers, with the statues. And then you've got this forest. And it's got birds chirping and foliage.
Very serene.
Yeah, that's it.
Airports are very stressful.
I was going through it one day. I'm like, I feel like I'm in a Barack Obama. I felt like I was in Barack Obama's portrait.
Oh, gosh. Well, that wasn't the official portrait, so.
No, but this one, it's boring.
Yeah, the
it's
other just, one was better.
Really? I mean, they couldn't have put like something in the background, like, I don't know, a tree?
Had him on a staircase, even.
A bush,
that
maybe?
That made sense.
I don't know. Maybe smoking a marijuana cigarette? I don't know.
Whoa!
Well, you know he did that. He may still do that. Maybe a... I don't know.
Well, it will be in the White House forever.
Couldn't they just, like, sketch it? It would have been great if Obama said, hey, got a magic marker? Anybody got a magic marker? We got to fix this.
Oh, man. I feel like when you see the unveiling, he, like, looks at his, and then he looks at hers, and he's like, oh, hers is good. Let's clap for hers.
See, our beautiful Liberty University studios are right around the corner from the art, you know, where they do all the painting. Very talented students, yes, at Liberty. They could have gotten somebody from Liberty.
It's very true.
I mean, they could have put out an all call, and somebody was, you know what, I can do it. I can, I mean, he was the former president. You got to, you know, you don't want to have just somebody.
Yes, this is true.
Like one
you
of
would
those,
like it to be somebody accomplished.
Kind of looks like they got one of the sketch artists that are out, you know, in the French Quarter. That'll
apparently,
draw.
Apparently, also Obama just said that the person who did this photograph, painting, whatever, also talked him out of wearing a tan suit. So he was originally going to wear a tan suit.
What's up with the tan suit?
I don't know.
That was always an issue with this guy, the tan suit.
I don't know. Well, Kamala wears tan suits as well. I don't like the tan suits on her.
Here's
I'll say
what
it,
gets
it's
me.
Just not a good
had
look.
He worn a tan suit, you wouldn't have been able to see him in the photo. I mean, it was the...
That's
the,
why the guy was like, no, you're not wearing a tan suit because you're going to have just a white background. So
you can't see the president because of the whiteness. It's so it's really stark white.
Yes.
Again, what is
this?
Oh,
this is not a cream white. This is
no, this is stark white, like
ghost white.
It's like you're in a blizzard in a nor'easter and you can't see. That's exactly what it is.
Just nothingness. It's like
there's something racial going on here. It's gotta be
something. There's something.
Well, you know, his mom was, you know, was white. Maybe that could be it. Maybe an homage.
I don't think
I'm just
so.
Not into, I, you know, I should have majored in art history. Maybe I could have understood.
Analyzed it. Art's very complicated. It'll be like a streak across a canvas, and they'll be like, oh, this symbolizes where you've come from and where you're at today and all your hardships. You're like, really?
All the colors of the rainbow. I don't know. I know somebody will look at this and say, oh, Todd, here's what it is. Here's what this means.
Yes.
844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. We need an art history professor to phone in. 844-747-8868. Or maybe somebody who just reads the funny papers. I don't know. No, those funny papers, Grace, that used to be... let me explain the reference. The newspapers, which is what you used to read, they used to have a comic section, which we called the funny papers.
Get it.
It's kind of old school.
Oh.
Sorry. They used to come, and they used to be in color on Sundays. That was always black and white Monday through Saturday.
Oh.
Anyway, Sluggo, does that name ring a bell?
Nope.
Beetle Bailey?
Nope.
The Family Circus?
Nope.
Dagwood and Blondie?
Nope.
What are they teaching kids these days? God help us, America. This is the Todd Stern Show. Grace, who do you think ought to do my portrait? That's the question. Maybe a sketch artist.
Don't hire me.
We need an official portrait for the lobby of the bunker. That's what we need.
I don't know. That might be a little creepy. Just to walk in and see you like,
smiling. I would
You'd
smile.
You'd be smiling. You wouldn't be in their like thinking face.
Remind me to tell you what happened at the big chili contest.
Oh,
yesterday.
I will.
All right. But we got to go to Joe. We got to go to Joe from LJ, who's been holding on for about 48 hours now. Joe, good to have you with us.
Todd, best show in America, and Grace Baker's the best. I just want to say I got some great political news. This Herschel Walker race is one of the biggest in the country. If he wins, I think we'll get control of the Senate. And the great news is I'm a graduate of Georgia Tech, And although I'm a graduate of Tech, I'm all for Herschel Walker, and not only am I for Herschel, but tons of other Georgia Tech supporters. And Tech and Georgia are coming together to elect Herschel Walker. And I want to predict on your great national show that Herschel Walker will definitely win in Georgia, will take control of the Senate, and also Kemp will also defeat Abrams. So I have great news for you, and I'm really fired up, because when you get Tech and Georgia people together for something like for Herschel Walker, it's going to be a sure win for Herschel. So I'm really fired up, and you have a great show, and Grace Baker's the best. She's really wonderful. You're wonderful. And have a great day, and go Todd Starnes, and go Herschel Walker.
Well, you know, Joe, it's interesting. There is a new poll out there suggesting that Walker's about 4 points ahead of Raphael Warnock in the polling data right now. So good news.
And that great, you get Tech and George together, it's going to be bigger than that, Todd. So I'm fired up, and keep on doing the great job you're doing, okay?
All right, Joe, appreciate the call there. Joe from LJ, man, he's pretty excited. Look, I think if conservatives get out there and vote on election day, you're gonna see that tsunami. But if they don't, we'll have to see. 844-747-8868. Are you confident? Are you becoming more encouraged? I know it's sort of like a roller coaster ride, but that's how things are as we head into the midterm elections. But Republicans really do need to unify around a couple of key issues, one of them being crime, which is what we've been talking about for a while on this program. So, Grace, after the show, I went over to the Delta Fair, which is one of the big, it's the big county fair for Shelby County.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of issues. I didn't realize this had happened, but there was an escape. So one of the bulls, they've got, this is a huge, it's called the Ag Center. And so they have horse shows and livestock shows.
Oh,
It's a lot of fun. And they have a big farmer's market. I go out there and get my Mississippi red tomatoes. Delicious. So anyway, apparently one of the bulls got loose.
Do you think he was headed to Chick-fil-A?
No, the bull was not going to Chick-fil-A, but I'll tell you what the problem was. So right next to the livestock thing, there is a steakhouse called the Butcher Shop.
Oh, no.
And I think that cow, or the bull, rather, I think the bull saw the writing on the wall and made a dash for it.
Smart. Very smart.
But the bull was last seen running down Germantown Parkway.
Did they capture him?
Yes, and it did not end well.
Oh.
So they had to put down the bull.
Oh.
Yep. That's very sad.
Poor buddy.
So anyway, while all that was going on, I showed up, and they're very nice people. And this is kind of an old school, I mean, you're judging quilts, canned goods. It's all sorts of stuff. And for the food competition, which is what I was asked to judge, last year I judged the casseroles, and they were very good. This year they had casseroles in a crock pot, and then they had desserts, and then they had chili. And my judging companion happened to be the Memphis police chief.
Well, look at that, small world.
Her name is C.J. Davis, very nice lady, and she came in full regalia. I mean, she was, you know, ready to shoot somebody or take somebody down with the handcuffs. So anyway, and we've got photos on the Instagram. We posted the photos on the Instagram. We just had so we were judging for about, I don't know, it's an hour at least.
That's a lot of chili.
So, and what were we talking about yesterday that got me in trouble with the nation?
You don't like beans in your chili.
I do not like beans in the chili. So anyway, I felt it was important to let the people in charge know that I am not a beans and chili guy, but I was not going to let that impact my voting decision. And the look on their face of sheer horror, as if I just don't get it. Am I the only person in America who does not like beans and the chili?
Producer Kyle is nodding.
No, there has got to be somebody else out there.
I don't know. Listen, to each their own.
So they give us the aprons, and you got to see the Instagram page. It's pretty cool. They give us these really cool aprons, and so the chief and I were side by side, and she's taking this very seriously.
Ooh.
And it was like she was making notations. Oh, I taste cumin. And so cumin. So I'm writing down, and I'm kind of like cheating because I have no idea what I'm tasting. I know it's terrible. But anyway, we're she and I had the same palates, and there were a couple. There was one. The chili has a sauce, like a gravy, right?
Yeah.
All right. So there was one, and we opened up the lid, and there was no sauce. And so the chief goes, is this a taco?
Oh,
it looked like taco meat.
Oh, no.
And so we both took a bite of that, and the looks on our faces, it was really sort of funny. But anyway, this is weird. Three of the entries had mushrooms.
That's gross. That's my limit. I don't like mushrooms.
Is that a thing? Are people really preparing chili? Because my thinking is the only thing in chili should be the tomato sauce, you got the ground beef, you got...
the beans.
No, that's about it. You got the onions and all the vegetable whatever. And that's
my favorite way to eat it's on a hot dog.
Well, hold on. That's what I'm getting to. So, I mean, the police chief came with a full entourage. I mean, a full... And so the public information officer was there, and she was from St. Louis. And so the chief and I, and we were talking about, I made the comment, oh, this would make a good chili. This would make a good chili for a hot dog. And so the St. Louis gal says, wait, you put chili on hot dogs? And so the chief and I both looked at her, and her name was Rodriguez. And so the chief was like, what are you talking about, Rodriguez? And I thought, uh-oh, Rodriguez is in trouble.
In hot water. Hot chili, as it were.
And so I was trying to help Rodriguez out. And I said, well, yes, I said, we put chili on hot dogs. And then I was going to say, and we put slaw. And then the chief, we said it in unison, and we put slaw on hot dogs. A chili slaw dog. We bonded.
Food just brings Southerners together.
But can I just say, there were very few beef chilies. We had like venison.
Oh, they're trying to be different.
They were doing these like, yeah.
Bison?
Bison. We had bison chili. But a lot of it had the big chunks of mushroom. And I'm like, who does that?
The texture of mushrooms, yeah. It's like squeaky.
Who puts mushrooms in chili? Who puts beans in chili?
Did they do a vegan one?
So we were concerned about that. And so was the chief, actually. And
really?
To her credit, yes, she was very concerned. But we were assured there were no vegetarian chilies.
Very good.
So it was all meat. I mean, it is the South, for goodness sakes.
You would think. But there's always that one person who comes to the party and is like, I'm vegan. And you're like, dang it. That means your side dish sucks.
So we had 10 crock pots full of chili. And so we were able to crown number one, number two, and number three. And then the chief, and I think because she had a badge and a gun, we were also allowed to take part in the dessert competition, even though it had already been judged.
Well, that was nice, I would imagine.
And the strawberry cake was delicious.
Mm-mm-mm.
Good to top off a day of chili.
Nice.
I told the police chief, I said, you know, I could go for a glass of wine right now. She goes, I kind of like champagne. And I said, you tried Prosecco? She says, you're talking my language.
Wow.
Again, I think we bonded.
What couldn't we say? It's just the South.
I want to judge the fried chicken and biscuit categories next year. That's what I want to try.
That sounds pretty good.
All right. Got to take a break here. 8-4. You know, I wonder if Rush Limbaugh ever had to judge the chili competition at the state fair. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. I want to thank our good friend Rita Cosby. She hosts the Evening Time show over on WABC in New York City. And Rita had me on yesterday, or last night rather, to talk about the chaos and the craziness in Memphis, Tennessee. A great, great locally owned radio station, WABC in New York. John Fetterman running for the Senate as the Democrat in Pennsylvania. I want you to hear... This is Fetterman talking yesterday from the podium.
Please understand the stakes in this race. Send me to Washington, D.C. so I can work with Senator Casey and I can champion the union way of life in D.C. Thank you. Thank you very much. And it's an honor. I live 8 minutes away from here. And when I leave tonight, I got 3 miles away. Dr. Oz in his mansion in New Jersey. You've got a friend and you have an ally. Send me to Washington, D.C. Thank you very much. Thank you, Steelworkers.
Wow. No, it's sad. I mean, the poor guy, he's had a stroke. He, you know, he... What was it Trump said? He looks like the guy that's smoking dope in his parents' basement with the hoodie and the whatnot. It's really tragic. I mean, it really is. Meanwhile, you've got Dr. Oz out there, and you guys know I how I feel about Dr. Oz. I want to go to an interview yesterday that he had with Bret Baier. Now, Bret Baier asked him whether or not he considered himself to be a MAGA Republican, and he would not answer that question. He would not answer whether or not he was a MAGA Republican. I got a problem with that. Dr. Oz, knowing what we know about him and knowing that he embraces a lot of Democrat policies, knowing that he completely erased every reference to Donald Trump on his website, and now he won't even just acknowledge that, you know what? Yeah, I'm one of you guys. I'm one of these MAGA Republicans. Anyway, he was also asked about Mitch McConnell, cut number 6.
All right, last one very quickly. Will you support Mitch McConnell for leader if you're elected?
I look forward to being in the United States Senate and having to make that decision for the next leader of the United States Senate. It will be a Republican.
But you can't make it tonight?
Not going to make it tonight.
Dr. Mehmet Oz, we appreciate the time.
Answer the question. Stop playing games. Answer the blasted question. How difficult is that? You either support McConnell or you don't. You're either pro-life or you're not. You're either pro-CRT or you're not. You're either pro-transgender movement or you're not. Just answer the question. We're all grown-ups here. We can accept the truth. But Dr. Oz doesn't want to go down that path. I mean, it is a bad choice that you folks in Pennsylvania have to make. You're either going to be voting for a stroke victim or you're going to be voting for Dr. Oz, who has rejected, and let's be honest, at this point, he has rejected the Trump MAGA movement. I don't even know why he bothered to show up at the Trump rally. It's really unfortunate. So there you go. Hillary Clinton, by the way, Hillary Clinton says she's not going to be running for the White House. Let's take a listen.
Hillary Clinton is on a new campaign of sorts with her daughter Chelsea for a new Apple TV Plus docuseries highlighting extraordinary women. It's called Gutsy. We sat down exclusively with the former secretary and asked her what's next.
Would you ever run for president again?
No, but I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that we have a president who respects our democracy and the rule of law and upholds our institutions.
What if Donald Trump runs again?
He should be soundly defeated. It should start in the Republican Party. Grow a backbone. Stand up to this guy. And heaven forbid, if he gets the nomination, he needs to be defeated roundly and sent back to Mar-a-Lago.
The Florida mansion now in the spotlight after an FBI search for classified documents. Donald Trump is saying that this search of his home is politically motivated.
Well, I'm sure he would say that.
In 2016, Hillary Clinton was under investigation for her own handling of classified information and questions about using a private server as Secretary of State. Then FBI Director James Comey ultimately recommended Clinton not be prosecuted, but said she and her team were extremely careless.
I had a very different situation where I was cleared and the guy just kept talking and talking and then came up with a new reason to talk some more 10 days before the election.
James Comey.
Yes, and there's no doubt at all that he impacted very negatively my chances of winning. So it was in the middle of an election, there was no there, and the guy never shut up. So I think it's a really different comparison to what's going on here when it appears that the Justice Department and the FBI have been incredibly patient, quiet, careful until they finally apparently thought that national security was at stake.
She told us she's watched all of the January 6th hearings.
What do you think of Liz Cheney?
I think she's done a great historic service to the United States and, you know, paid a price for it, which was gutsy.
It was
unpatriotic. It was un-American.
I want to give a real shout out to the witnesses. But
many of them
forward.
Have been young women.
Young women. And that goes to a point about being a gutsy woman. The couple of young women who have come forward out of the Trump White House, they have been vilified. They had to have known that they were going to be criticized, but I give them enormous credit for speaking the truth and doing the right thing.
Well, isn't she the one who stood by her man when he was having his way with the interns in the oral office? Isn't that the same person here? Just wondering. Anyway, she's running. I know what she says, but she's running. This is all part of some sort of a rehabilitation plan when it comes to Mrs. Bill Clinton. But she's running. And I wouldn't be surprised. Again, the long shot here is Michelle Obama, who is waiting in the wings for something. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You folks in California, man, I feel bad for you, you conservatives out there, but I hope you have already charged up your battery-powered vehicles because the rolling blackouts have started. I think the only place that will be allowed to have full power and 68 degrees on the thermostat would be the French Laundry, which is Gavin Newsom's favorite restaurant there in the Napa Valley. But anyway, was it 120 degrees in Sacramento? Ooh, I know it's a dry heat, but that's like roasting temperature. Goodness gracious. So anyway, they're going to be rolling blackouts across the entire state. And if you haven't charged up your battery-powered car, you're going to have to go full-blown Amish. Get out the horse and buggy. All right, folks, been a good show today. All over again tomorrow. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. Write that down. ToddStarnes.com is our website. You're going to need to remember that, too. Be good, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.